Joining us on the telephone line, well, he's quite simply the best radio talk show host in all of New England, if not America. He's the great and wondrous Andy Gresh of WPRO and CBS Sports Radio. Gresh, what's going on?
You didn't tell me I needed my boots for this interview there, Kimbo. Seriously. And you have all these people coming, humanitarians and people doing good, and then it's just some dope.
No dope. You're the best, man. I've told you that for years.
You're very kind. Hey, listen, if there's one thing you and I definitely have in common that we might be really be able to look forward to this year is calling football games in empty stadiums. I think if anybody needs to be consulted, you and I have done enough sporadically over the years that I think we'll be plenty prepared for what might be coming this college football season.
Right. I'm always more thrown when there's a huge crowd. What the hell is this?
Yeah, right. Yeah, opening day and maybe homecoming, depending on the record. Then again, when I played at URI, I think I played in front of a total of 10,000 people down there. So, you know, it is what it is. Rich, I'm just hopeful that we're going to be able to keep these athletes as safe as possible, be smart, but also get back to competition at the same time. Because in talking to some people at the, you know, upper levels, the Rhode Islands and Maine, it doesn't affect that much. But when you think about potentially how devastating the lack of a college football season could be, it could wreck college sports in a way that I don't think a lot of people could see coming.
Well, because so many schools depend on that football revenue to fund other programs, and there's a domino effect that'll take place if there isn't college football on many campuses.
Question. And, you know, you don't think about the, you know, women's tennis team or something like that, but, you know, I'm sure some of that money flows downhill, especially at the real big schools. And to think about it, you know, on a conference level, and I know the American Athletic Conference is still down here in my backyard and may have to be for another year because of the pandemic. And they've already started making tough decisions, and everybody is realizing it's just going to be a completely different world. But what it will do, Rich, I hope, is spark a little invention, a little thought, different ways to be able to monetize either football programs, eventually kids down the road. I mean, you know, I'm hoping that there is some level of good that can come out of this for college sports if we can just kind of ride out this storm and not let the system completely be blown up because of economics.
Gresh, what do you think has to happen for us to be able to have any kind of a college football season?
I think it's got to be, you know, Rich, I've been big on this, is whether you want to call it assumed risk, informed consent, whatever it is. We've now had so many resources and studies thrown into COVID-19 that I would like to think now, a little bit like football players and concussions, that, okay, you know what you can do to take care of yourself. You know how you can help yourself. Maybe you do get to get a little lucky and hope other teammates or people around you are taking as much care of themselves as you are. But I do think it's going to be the balance of, hey, am I so worried about this? Am I going to sit out a year? Or am I going to be in an environment where there's medical people on call? I mean, when you think about some of the inequities we have in this country right now in terms of people with health care, I would argue that if you're an athlete that has the ability to be under some sort of constant care, for them to be able to track your temperature, to know when things start to go sideways, it's a level of care that's not afforded many people in this country right now. And I am one of those really who thinks that, yes, you're in that shrunken sort of environment, but if you get sick, you have the ability to pick up a phone and call a trainer or a team doctor right away. And I think some people or kids will hopefully say, you know what, I can survive in an environment like that and feel secure that if something does go wrong, that it could be removed from the situation and that everything can still kind of move on. So I know that's a little bit of a layered and a complex answer, but I think it's going to really have to come down to everybody becoming comfortable with the protocols that are in place, and then hopefully being able to hold your teammates accountable to keep everybody as safe as they can throughout the season.
Now, do you think in a situation like that on a college campus that something schools might do is isolate the football players, let's say, in one dormitory?
If you can do that, that's great. I know for, you know, Maine and Rhode Island, it, you know, those Would they be able to do that at those schools? I'm sure they could figure it out with a little bit of advanced planning. There's no question. But, you know, in terms of Alabama, I mean, hell, you know, like Billy Minardi Hall down at Louisville, if they turned it into a den of iniquity, why can't they turn it into a place where athletes can be quarantined? But, you know, I make a joke about that, but to the point, you know, they've got facilities to be able to do so. And look, Rich, here's, I do think, and look, you're in the education system, so you know this as well as anybody, that we're all going to, there will be no absolutes in this as we move forward. The only absolute is that we're still learning about all of this and that there will be a level of uncomfortable. Now, are you like a New England state uncomfortable where you're treading slowly and ultimately opening things up? Or are we down on Galveston Beach in Texas or down in Florida where people are, you know, half the people are walking around like nothing is happening? I think there's a happy medium. I'd like to think we could all come to our senses and educate ourselves and just take a little care, not only for ourselves, but each other, to be able to get through this. Because in theory, once they have the vaccine, we should all be able to really, truly go back to normal, except our lives are changing right now. And I think a lot of what's going down, Rich, is going to be felt for generations.
I think you're absolutely right about that. Now, what I wonder, though, is given the different ways people are responding to this around the country, does that mean that especially not the Power Fives, certainly, but FCS level teams, maybe the AAC and some of the other conferences at the FBS level, do they find a way to restrict travel a little bit and stay, well, I guess stay among their own kind, if you will?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I think, at the last check of some people that I talked to, there was still the, okay, how do we figure that piece out? Because on some level, you know, not everybody's got Alabama money, and how do you end up making that work? And that's a great question because, you know, I mean, you know, listen, you and Bob Lucy have been flying around like Ric Flair on private jets for a long time. I know that you two don't know how the real world lives, but no, but getting on a bus or even getting on a plane with a bunch of other people, I'm sure that's got to be a little nervous. And that's where the whole washing your hands, do you have your mask on? You know, look, if I were a football coach and we're getting ready to go into that kind of environment where we're on a bus or on a plane, I politely ask my guys to, you know, put gloves on if they feel like it, or it'd be something that I wouldn't mind suggesting. I think we've all got to be, we'll have to be reasonable in the discussions that we're going to have. And you know what it is? Maybe the little things that get cut out, honestly, Rich, are the stuff that probably should anyway. Why do you need to go off campus the night before and stay in a hotel?
Right.
Like, what are we doing? Seriously. Like, why do you need to go do that? I did that one time at Rhode Island, one, because we got into a de facto conference championship game, and our dumb head coach said, oh, boy, this is great, because they'll be able to sit around and think about it. It was the worst thing for us. Disrupted our routine. Guys had their things that they did with their girlfriends the night before games and stuff, and that got disrupted. So, you know, I mean, but why do we need that? Hopefully, Rich, it'll lead to the trimming of some excess, quite honestly. Like, do you need gourmet steaks on the flight home if you're Alabama? Or could you hand them the box lunch like the kids at Maine and Rhode Island get when the game is on the list? I mean, come on, let's be reasonable.
We're talking with Andy Gresh here on Downtown. I have no doubt, I don't know how you feel, but of all the sports contemplating coming back, because of the money involved, I have no doubt at all there's going to be some kind of an NFL season.
Oh, that's your bippy, there will be. And I'll tell you right now, I wonder, Rich, if the, like, I was going to say, I'll tell you right now, there's going to be wraps around the seats. However, you know, when you hear the governor of Ohio, when you hear the AD of Ohio State say, hey, maybe we can get 25,000 people in. In Florida, are they just going to allow people to gather like crazy? I mean, it seems like they don't frown on it that badly. So there's different states that will have their different guidance. But look, the NFL owners, I think, Rich, have realized that as much as they love to try to make everything equitable from a business standpoint as much as they can, that's not going to happen this year. Because if Jerry Jones gets the okay to allow 70,000 people, let's say, into Cowboy Stadium, and Robert Kraft is only allowed 10 or none during the year, then, oh well, I guess that's the way it's going to be. And I don't think there's very much that the NFL owners are going to be able to do about it. unless they're lobbying their local governors or people to allow some folks in the stands. So I think it's going to be a little inequitable. And those who don't have fans, I'm expecting it to kind of be like MLS, where, you know, sometimes on those second level of stadiums in MLS, they'll wrap it with advertising. They'll find a way to squeeze as much money out of it as they can. But I think there's going to be some weeks, Rich, and some games where I think we're going to watch some games with people in the stands and some we won't.
No, I think you're absolutely right about that. All right, what about the Patriots themselves? Do you think, as one sports book suggests, that they're the front runners or even interested in Cam Newton?
I don't think they're interested in Cam Newton at all. Number one, the cap space. Number two, this guy's not going to come in with an open mind. He's going to come in, walk through the door, saying, I'm Cam Newton, man, and you should hand me the starting job. And we know that our friend Bill B. Hoodsworth is not going to do anything like that. So, you know, that's out the window. And Cam Newton is a nice, sexy name. But unless they're really going to overturn the offense, honestly, Rich, he doesn't fit. I think what the Patriots need in their offense is a little movement from the quarterback will help. There's no question. But we're not turning, you know, this isn't turning into Baltimore. This isn't going to be Dak Prescott. If there's making some plays outside the pocket, that's one thing. But if I were advising Cam Newton, I'd say, listen, go be the backup in Baltimore. Because if, God forbid, the starting quarterback down there, Lamar Jackson, gets hurt, Cam Newton can do what that kid can do and more in terms of running that offense. And yes, it would be more power running, but to me, he would translate very well in something like that. Because he doesn't have to stand back there and make decisions. The more decisions you give Cam Newton, the worse he's going to do, in my opinion.
How much of a window do you think Coach Bill has with the fans to be something less than a Super Bowl contender?
Well, that's interesting. I wonder how quick the patience will run out. And I would love to say that he kind of gets the pass, but you know as well as I do that if it's a wild card round loss again, and then maybe they take a half a step forward and a half a step back, and it feels like they're treading water for a couple of years. I would say 3 years is when probably the sand runs out of the hourglass and New Englanders turn back into New Englanders relative to Belichick and rooting on him as if he were, you know, running the Red Sox or something.
Is Stidham the guy? Can he be a quality NFL starter?
Here's the thing, Rich, and everybody is forgetting about this. Coaches, like Tom Brady's a luxury. Drew Brees the luxury. You go in saying, give me a guy I can win with. And if you get a superstar, you get a superstar. So will he be Tom Brady? Hell no. Is he good enough to win with? Because then it takes the team into account. Right now, I lean towards yes. I don't say it with great certainty. And they'll have to count on defense and special teams again. This is going to be a heck of a lot closer to the 01, 02, 03 Patriots. Where it's going to be about team, running it a little bit more, cutting down on the risk from the quarterback spot. They can win with him, but I don't know that necessarily means we'll sit there and think, oh, yeah, he's a really good quarterback.
Millionaires versus billionaires in this Major League Baseball argument. Are there any good guys there? Who should we be pulling for?
Oh, my word. Well, I guess it depends on, you know, if you're a labor guy. They went, meaning Major League Baseball, the players went and made a deal with the owners already, and the owners would say, whoa, wait a minute, the landscape's changed, we got to figure this out. They both look bad. They both look terrible. It appears as if the negotiation for the new CBA is starting right now, which now people are starting to get hip to because those who were casual fans are asking the question, what is taking baseball so long? I mean, you get a little bit of a nuanced answer, you realize there's really deep-seated mistrust and economics. I think they'll get it done, Rich, because there's too much money to lose, but this is not a good look for baseball. When the NBA is getting close to going down to Disney World or Las Vegas and figuring out what they need to, and baseball wasn't out in front of this enough to be able to try to have a plan as they went along, is, you know, it's just baseball being baseball again.
Yeah, you got that right. Hey, how's the show working out at WPRO right there in the old stomping grounds?
Yeah, it's not bad. You know, I live, my round trip to and from work is 3.5 miles. So
sweet.
Yeah, so but I'm so close, and now I can't go in. So it's, you know, like it's the weirdest thing ever. You know, for years and years, I'm driving around all over God's creation, and I get to the point where I'm right around the corner, and a global pandemic drives me into the corner of our bedroom to set up a quarantine home studio. I mean, you know, but it is what it is. Things are going well. I haven't peed on the rug yet, so.
I mean, let's be honest. A global pandemic might be the only thing that could put you in a corner.
Yeah, I would think so. Well, hey, I was doing the show from a closet before I went to the corner.
Well, so this is progress then. You're getting closer.
I guess you could say that, yeah. Depends on how you want to read into those kinds.
What about the CBS radio show? Is that still Saturdays, or will that start up in football season?
Well, yeah, I don't know. There's kind of a moving target on that. It's like, well, you might come back, and well, we don't know, and then maybe, and then we don't know. So, yeah, I still technically do the Saturdays on CBS Sports Radio, but, you know, with everything sideways, I've been able to throw home some meat in my Big Green Egg on Saturday and wait for them to slow roast.
There you go. Hey, Andy, it is great to talk with you, as always, my friend. Thanks for joining us again, WPRO in Providence, every Monday through Friday night from 6 to 9 p.m., The Gresh Show, radio like no other. Thanks, Gresh.
I'm glad we connected, and now I can be back in the 2020 guest bracket.
With a high seed, without a doubt.
Oh, I'm sure. Thanks, Chris.
Thanks, Andy. Andy Gresh with us here on Dantown.